Yes, we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. We are entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And that conversation, it begins with one simple question. Are you hanging or are you banging, Marcus Haney?
I am banging, fired up to be here. Actually, we might be doing a little hanging at the same time,
having
a cold beverage here on the Hanging or Banging podcast. Fired up to be here. This is week number two, right?
Well, this is also our radio program combo. So as you realize what we are doing here, we're moving into digital. We have a podcast. We have a number of podcasts, but we also have the Mark Haney Show, right? So Marcus, so let's talk about this, though. We're entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, right? I have this fascination, right? If enough of the more experienced, more successful entrepreneurs reach down, help the up-and-comers, you know, we can create this entrepreneurial revolution, right? Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. Am I right?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And, you know, we're doing interesting stuff around here, like hosting events, the Hanging with Haney events. But you recently just got done having an Entrepreneurs Unleashed event where there was a couple hundred entrepreneurs here. I wasn't here. I was off supporting my sister, who is the president-elect of the Placer County Association of Realtors. Ashley, great job. Had a great time out there. But I want to hear about how Entrepreneurs Unleashed went.
Thanks for choosing your sister over me. I'm glad you went and chose her, and your mother took off and was hanging out with you guys, too. I was alone with 196 highly motivated entrepreneurs, and we had a great time. You know, and I think when we entrepreneurs get together, we learn stuff, we're motivated, and I think in some ways it helps us unleash our potential. That's what Entrepreneurs Unleashed is all about. So,
well, it's kind of interesting. I think we talked about it last week a little bit, but are you seeing entrepreneurism become its own industry of sorts?
Yeah, I think entrepreneurship is becoming cool. Entrepreneurship is the cool factor in business, and I think people are suddenly realizing that entrepreneurs are the ones that create the jobs, right? They take the sacrifices. They take the big risks, right? All in order to put food on the table for their families, but they change the world. They're the ones that are employing all the people.
No doubt.
They're making our economy tick.
So what do you think the big draw is? Is it this, big get-rich quick scheme? What are you thinking?
I don't think entrepreneurship is a get-rich quick scheme, but I think we want to control our own destiny. I think entrepreneurship is about controlling your destiny. It's okay to dream big. I mean, I think when you get together with other entrepreneurs, like this show, I think our listeners are probably entrepreneurs for the most part. And when you hear from other entrepreneurs and you hear a little bit of their success, there's a small part of you that thinks, maybe I can do that too, right? And if that little something can resonate with the entrepreneurs of our community, you know what? Over time, that little something adds up to a big something, and I think it's dreams being realized and opportunities coming to people who wouldn't have normally had it.
Right, and what that does for their own internal community, right? There's so much benefit as that trickles down, right? But I kind of tend to look at it a little bit, and I see people online always promoting, why don't you come take my course? I'm a get-rich-quick online business coach. You're a guy who's been there and done that and sold companies and invested in things like that. What do you think of that kind of landscape taking place in the entrepreneurial community?
Well, I think the best way to learn is by actually getting in the game, getting on the field, and actually getting yourself dirty. I mean, that's the best way to learn. I think the second best way to learn is talking to people who have actually been there, done that. When you hear their stories, not only does it inspire the entrepreneur, but I think it's a firsthand knowledge of the little nuances that go into winning. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the guys that are out there motivating people online and teaching their courses. I have no problem with that. If that's how they're making a living, that's entrepreneurship at its finest.
Heck yeah.
So I respect it in its own way. But if I'm advising entrepreneurs, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I say go talk to people who have been there and done that, and you're probably going to get it a little more factual.
Yeah, which I think we need a little bit more of, right? Yeah. I think sometimes a lot of these, you get these guys dreaming or trying to pitch you their new good idea, and it's okay. We talked about it already. Entrepreneurship is not a get-rich-quick type of deal.
Yeah.
So, you look at it, what do you start paying yourself? Why, how do you even determine that when you're starting out a business?
It's funny, as an investor, you say, how much should people pay themselves? I think as an investor, I look at that a lot. People come in and we're up here inside Mark Tank, right? People pitch to me all the time, looking for investment, looking for business partners. And one of the things I like to ask people is, how much are you going to pay yourself, or how much are you paying yourself? Another thing I'll ask people is, like, what kind of car do you drive, right? Sometimes you can read a lot about people's motivation based upon what they drive, and especially a younger guy like yourself, Marcus. I mean, you and I have talked about this a few times.
Yeah.
Should you, what kind of car should you drive to send the right image to your customers? What should you drive in order to send the right image to your employees? What kind of car should you drive when you want to send the right image to somebody who's thinking about putting an investment in you? Because I don't think an investor wants to invest in your lifestyle. They want to invest into something that's going to go up in value, and that's not your lifestyle.
Absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. But how do you determine what that pay level is? I mean, say you're a guy who's starting out making okay money. Are you going to go take that off the table now, or what's your advice?
Well, I think as an investor, I say, you know, you've got to have skin in the game if you're trying to raise money. And I'm an investor. I look at the entrepreneur as needing to have skin in the game, which means don't pay yourself a whole heck of a lot. Everybody's got to make a living, so I get that. But I think a demonstration of having skin in the game is certainly something I look for when I'm looking at business partners. But if for somebody who doesn't have investors, I look at it as something you have to take inside, because it depends on what your goals are, right?
Okay, yeah,
doesn't it depend on what your goals are? If you're looking to build your lifestyle, well, you know, if that's your goal, more power to you. If your goal is to actually build something that has value, then I think you need to be thinking about your allocation of resources. There's so often where you look at the entrepreneur and there's all kinds of problems. I mean, I think the biggest decision we make as entrepreneurs is how to allocate our resources, how to spend our money, what to do with these, with our time, what to do with our money. And I think if we're paying it to ourselves to build our lifestyle, you know, it could be taking away from the goal of making the company more valuable, which is what, from an investor standpoint, I want the company to be more valuable.
Yeah, no doubt about it, right? Well, I guess that would bring me to my next question. As an investor, investrapreneur, guy who's at the forefront of the entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento, what is the biggest red flag that you run into as an investor that you see needs to kind of get scraped off the top?
The biggest red flag. You know, it's hard to narrow it down to one. I think, you know, we talked about people going into it for the wrong reasons. Yeah. If an entrepreneur is going into the fight for entrepreneurship just to have a little bit nicer vehicle, I think it's pretty easy to see right through that person is not the person that I'm going to want to invest in. I think if people have the right purpose, the right why, I can rally around that. And so many times they want to change the world. So many times they want to build a business that really has value so they can make an impact. They can provide opportunity for their family, for their teammates, and do great things in the world. So I really look at the rationale behind why people are doing their entrepreneurial venture. And that really influences me as an investor. So a red flag would be somebody who really appeared to be wanting their business for a lifestyle reason. And I think a lot of times you can see that in the kind of car they drive. Marcus, we talked about that earlier. I mean, the kind of car you drive really demonstrates where your head is at, where your motivations are at.
Right. So when I was in the Marine Corps, it's kind of interesting. You know, we didn't get paid very much money, but there was never a lack of passion, right? There was never a lack of enthusiasm with your guys to your left and to your right and females. You know, it was all mission-centric, right? So if everybody on the whole team is looking at the same mission and attacking accordingly, then big things happen within an industry. And you're not looking back and say, hey, this guy did that or this guy did this because he's got the fancy uniform on.
Yeah, you weren't doing it for the money?
No,
They paid you guys pretty well. I mean, yeah. I think it was, what did it add up to?
It added up to a 6-pack a week. but it was good.
But you guys were on call 24/7, 365 basically. Yeah. And, you know, all for, probably ended up to be less than minimum wage, right? As an infantry guy.
Yeah, definitely less than minimum wage if you want to tally up the hours. But no one ever talked about that. That wasn't even the thought process going through everybody's mind. We're sitting here, okay, how do we do our best for the person to our left and to our right and that person behind us who in the Marine Corps, you know, we call it having your six, right?
Yeah.
So as long as you have those people in mind, then nothing else necessarily matters. But, you know, you look at entrepreneurship, right? It's always a constant battle. Why do you think it's so easy for entrepreneurs to chase shiny objects. Lord knows that I am guilty of doing this, but you know, when it's in the Marine Corps, it's like, okay, hey, you dial yourself in on that that enemy, if you will, and you go after it full bore. Why do you think entrepreneurship is so open-ended?
When entrepreneurs chase these shiny objects, right, when they chase more than one opportunity at a time, I think there's a tremendous amount of risk of being out of focus, for lack of a better term. And I think that's actually one of the key things that I see in entrepreneurs is they are chasing too many opportunities and they're straddling their strategy, for lack of a better term. So in my mind, there's a reason. And I think a lot of times that happens because entrepreneurs by nature, they're creative. They like a lot of stuff.
Right.
But the most successful entrepreneurs are able to go all in on what they know, right? And if they go all in on something that is unexpected, or maybe it's a long shot, they can hit a home run if they go hard on a long shot and they follow through. So I think chasing the shiny objects is interesting, but I don't think it necessarily pays the bills. So, so often these entrepreneurs, right, there's this high risk of actually failing. And I mean, I see that many times. Why didn't people why didn't they make it? How did they go out of business? They were chasing too many shiny objects and not focusing on what was right in front of them, the opportunity that was right in front of them. So,
well, it's kind of interesting. You talk about the most successful entrepreneurs in the world who just happen to be probably the most wealthy people in the world too. But you look at a guy like Steve Jobs or a Bezos. These guys drive normal cars. They wear pretty much normal people clothes. They're not fancy or anything like that. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs, I had heard that he dressed the same every day so that he didn't have to make decisions, right? Oh. He was in the decision minimization strategy.
Kind of
so
like Mark Haney.
I have a little bit of that same. One person might call it poor wardrobe selection. Another person might call it step minimization. But I think as we think about entrepreneurs, right, as we think about winning, I think resource allocation is the biggest decision we make. So we talked earlier, Marcus, about how much do we pay ourselves?
Yeah.
How do we decide how much to pay ourselves? How much do we decide how much to take out of the company? How much do we decide how much to leave in the company? And all I can think of is if you've got a car payment, right? You really want to get this fancy car and it's going to take, a car payment every week. All I can think about is, what if you put that money back into the company? What if you invested that money into yourself, into your own learning? You talked earlier about, where to get this education. I mean, if you invest into a seminar that makes you better, I mean, that's a way better use of your $500 a month than a car payment for a car that you really can't afford. So I think patting your employees on the back with a little $500 bonus, it's a lot better than that fancy car payment that you need to take. So I think take a client to dinner. Take a lot of clients to dinner. If you have an extra $500 a month to do something with, do it so that it ties to your long-term goals. And hopefully, if you have investors, you're looking to make your company a heck of a lot more valuable. So your car doesn't impress your clients. Your car doesn't impress your employees. Your car can't build commitment within your teammates. Your car doesn't show how much you care to the people that you care about. So, save the Porsche for the payday. Once you get your payday, go out and buy the fancy car. But until then, focus on what you've committed to. Focus on your commitments to your family. You've got people counting on you, to your teammates. They are counting on you, to your investors. I'll tell you right now, they are counting on you. And as you succeed, our whole community succeeds too. So Marcus, just to all those guys out there like yourself that have fought the good fight for our way of life, for our security, to all the entrepreneurs out there that are battling every day, trying to make those decisions on, where am I going to put my money? What am I going to do? Do I buy the fancy car or do I reinvest it back into my company? Tough decisions. I wish you the best as you make those decisions. I am here for you. If you want to be, if you need a sounding board, a guy that's been there, done that, I can be that guy for you. So to all of you out there, to the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to that big decision about winning that's always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side. Can you hear?
wide awake, the fever burns, sweat it out.